The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, so in Luke's Gospel, we see this over and over. Story about a man, story about a woman. Story about a man, story about a woman. And it goes throughout the whole Gospel, even to the point where, and I didn't even catch it, someone else did, a woman's looking at Peter saying, "You're one of his disciples." And "No, I'm not." And then it says Jesus looks at him. So you have the woman looks at him, the man looks at him. So that's the theme of Luke. I don't know what it means, and at some point I hope I can figure it out. But the Gospel begins. So the Mary story and the Zechariah story are a couplet. They're told together. Now, as we all know, Zechariah was a priest. And the way it worked is once a year they got to go work in the temple, and once in a lifetime they got to go do the incense, because there's lots of priests. So once in a lifetime they had the opportunity to go do the incense. Now, when they did that, they were praying for the Messiah to come and for God to bring the kingdom to Israel. So when the angel appears to him and says, "The Lord has heard your prayer," my opinion is he wasn't praying for a child, mainly because they were too old. Like, you reach a point where you just give up. I don't think he went in the temple in the biggest moment of his life, said, "This is my chance to ask God for a baby." I think he was praying for the coming of the Messiah. And what the angel told him is, "The Lord has heard your prayer." And then he goes on to talk about John the Baptist, quoting from, by the way, Malachi 3:24, which talks about Elijah in the return of the Messiah. So that's my opinion. That's my opinion. That biblical story of an amazing birth is repeated over and over again. So when we're here in Zechariah and Elizabeth, we're also thinking about Abraham. We're thinking about Isaac. We're thinking about Jacob. We're thinking about Hannah. We're thinking about Samson's mom, whatever her name was. I don't even know if we know her name. Elkanah, I think, was the father. All these births are connected to God's salvation of the world, and it's jump-started by some impossible birth. But if you thought Elizabeth was impressive, here's what comes next. Mary. 6 months later, he goes and visits her, the angel, and he declares that she is favored of God. And the Greek word is diaterasso. Terasso is a bridge over troubled water. Troubled waters, terasso. So diaterasso is very distressed, very troubled. It says perplexed, but perplexed is kind of like doing a Sudoku, right? I'm not sure if this is a 6 or a 3. I think what she was going through was really a stressful What does this mean? Because the angel's response to her isn't, here, let me help you with the puzzle. It's, stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. She's pondering what the word means, and she's going to continue to do that throughout the gospel. The human encounter with the divine realm, and it's angels, but it's the divine realm, are terrifying and confusing. And apparently, even really holy people, and we have every reason to believe Mary's as holy as Zechariah, even really holy people are overwhelmed by the experience. Something to keep in mind in the age where Jesus is my best buddy, right? We can kind of lose track of the divine power. The angel tells Mary, and Luke tells us, that the Holy Spirit has filled the womb with God's own Son. No human queen is worthy of that title, but what about a girl from some backwater town in the middle of nowhere? His name is Jesus. Joshua in Hebrew, Yeshua in Aramaic, and it means God saves. Matthew will actually spell that out and say, because he will save us. Luke doesn't. He will receive the throne of David and reign as Messiah, the King of Israel, forever. Something which I did not know as a child. Because for me, he was the Son of God and the Savior. The Messiah didn't matter much because I wasn't terribly Jewish as a child. But that's the key point made over and over again. This is the Jewish King. Jesus is the Jewish King. Who is the Son of God? Who is divine Savior? But he's the Jewish King, the promised for King, the King who the priests of Israel prayed for, including Zechariah. Now, unfortunately, we're so familiar with this story, because like you've heard it before, right? Over and over again. And because we've heard it so much, it's like our hearts aren't amazed. Like, we're not weeping, right? I'm just up here talking about it like, you know, I went to the store, got some chiclets and chewed up some chiclets. And oh, by the way, Mary had that baby when she was a virgin because, you know, that happens every day. The story, we almost yawn and say, yeah, I know, yeah, I know. We almost yawn. We need an angelic presence to scare the yawning out of us. We need to be shaken out of our complacency so that we will believe in Jesus the King. But not in some vague, disconnected sense from our real lives. You know, so often Christmas presents and all that stuff are the distraction. Like, I know we're worried about shopping. I know we're online looking for the gifts. I know we're trying to figure out if we're going to sneak people in. I mean, this year's a little different, but I know what Christmas, I know why people dread Christmas. Oh, not Christmas, all this stuff. We're not pondering the depth of meaning here. So today, here's my request. Let's become Mary. Let's be Mary. Let's meditate on God's word and ponder its meaning. Let's take a serious amount of time to really think about these things. Let us with Mary say, Lord, I'm your servant. Whatever you say, I'll do. Let it happen to me just the way you want. Today, in this service, in a few minutes, 7 minutes, we will offer our bodies and blood to Jesus. We're going to offer ourselves, and then God, in return, is going to give us Jesus in the Eucharist. And like Mary's womb, you and I are going to be like Mary's womb. We are going to be filled with the full divine human presence of Jesus Christ and carry it into the world. I'm no longer negative when I say we live in dark and troubling times. Remember when I was viewed as negative? Now I'm viewed as a flaming optimist. We live in dark and troubling times. Let our response to toxic politics be the proclamation that Jesus is King. Let that be our response to toxic politics. And let us remember in the face of pandemics and every social malady that Jesus redeems us. Jesus redeems us from every calamity and saves us from all that is evil. And let us live, you and I, like that third world impoverished virgin girl, as one who believes the greeting, "Hail, the Lord is with you, highly favored one." Amen.